Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 12, text 8. The subject matter of chapter 12 is Bhakti Yoga. And actually the subject matter of the whole Bhagavad Gita is Bhakti Yoga. But in other parts of the Gita, Lord Krishna describes other facets of knowledge or other facets of our existential position in this material world. Who are the demigods? What are the three modes of material nature? How this material world is full of suffering? What are the different factors of action? There are many essential points which Lord Krishna covers in Bhagavad Gita, but the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is through Arjuna to inform all of us conditioned souls of our real welfare, how we can fulfill our lives in the best possible manner, how we can come to our constitutional position of loving devotional service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is called Bhakti Yoga, and that is specifically being delineated in this 12th chapter. And in this verse, Lord Krishna defines, or he tells to Arjuna what he should do to be engaged in Bhakti Yoga. What is Shuddha Bhakti, or pure Bhakti? That means free from any trace of any other desire. Shuddha Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti. That means the topmost level of Bhakti. Lord Krishna explains in this verse 8 of chapter 12. He says to Arjuna, his very dear friend, Mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi buddhin niveshaya, nivasishyasi, mayeva ata urdvam nasamshayaha. Just fix your mind upon me, Krishna says. Fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live with me always without a doubt. This is pure bhakti, that the mind should always be fixed on Krishna. Earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna spoke about the yoga process of fixing the mind, making it very steady. Arjuna protested, Chanchalang hi manah Krishna, pramati balavadudham, tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva sudushkaram. He told to Krishna that, Krishna, you're telling me to control the mind, but to me it seems that the mind is like the wind blowing here and there. It's more difficult to control even than the wind. Chanchalam. The mind is always flickering. Now here Krishna is saying, to fix the mind on me. How is that possible? Because Krishna is the real object of attraction. Krishna means the all-attractive person. Krishna is all-attractive by his all strength, all wealth, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation. Krishna has all the qualities to attract everyone in full eternally. So Krishna means all attractive. And if we fix our minds on Krishna, we will be fully satisfied. People practice yoga to try to control the mind, and they may succeed for some time, but not for a very long time, because the mind is always seeking some satisfaction, and we can only be fully satisfied in Krishna, because that is our constitutional position. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. So says Arjuna, is being told by Krishna, just fix your mind in me. Of course, if our mind is fixed in Krishna, it's not just a matter of thinking of Krishna, but then we think, oh, how can I please Krishna? Just like Krishna has already told, patrang pushpam palang toyam yome bhaktya prayacchati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. Krishna tells Arjuna, you offer me leaf, flower, fruit, or water with bhakti, with pure love. I shall certainly accept it. Devotee becomes very enlivened. Oh, Krishna, he will accept if I offer him with love, the leaf, flower, fruit, or water. The devotee worships Krishna. The devotee is not attracted to becoming a very so-called great person of this material world. The devotee is not attracted to the sense enjoyment which is available even in the species of the hogs and the dogs. They're also having sense enjoyment. But a devotee, his taste is exquisite. His taste is most sophisticated, not snobbish, but natural, at heart's attraction to Krishna. So here, in summary, Krishna is explaining that your mind should be fixed on me, and then naturally, if the mind is fixed in Krishna, we simply want to serve Krishna. Arjuna's mother, Kunti Devi, by which Arjuna is famous as Kaunteya, she prayed very beautifully to Krishna. You must read this Bhagavad Gita as it is. And when you've read Bhagavad Gita as it is, please read Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever is given in summary in Srimad Bhagavad Gita is given in great detail. What is bhakti? Who is Bhagavan? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find one very beautiful verse from Srimati Kunti Devi, again explaining what is bhakti by explaining her own heart's desire to serve Krishna. She says to Krishna, Twai me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvahata dadha gange vogum udanvati. She says that, my dear Krishna, Madhupati, she addresses Krishna as Madhupati. It means Krishna is coming in the Madhu dynasty, the lord of the Madhu dynasty. Madhupati also means, Madhu means sweetness, so Krishna is the lord of all sweetness. Sri Vallabhacharya has composed beautiful prayers explaining how everything about Krishna is Madhuram, very sweet. Madhupati. Unfortunately, there's no time to discuss so many things here. You please read these books. You'll be benefited so much. So Kunti Devi addresses Krishna as Madhupati, Madhuradipati. So she says to him that may my attraction for you flow towards you constantly, just like the Ganga. You seen the Ganga? She rushes. The Ganga is not a meandering stream. Right from the source of Ganga, Gomukh, then Gangotri, and then Ganga comes down through Saptaprayag, down through the Himalayas, down through Haridwar, and then all the way down. All so many holy places are on the bank of the Ganga. Kashi Tirtha, and comes down through Calcutta and reaches Ganga Sagar. All the way from Gomukh, all the way down to Ganga Sagar. Long stretch, some thousands of kilometers. Ganga is rushing, very fast river. So she is saying, Kunti Devi, she's giving this example, may my bhakti be like that. May my attraction rush towards you without being diverted to any other topic. Nowadays, of course, they're making canals from the Ganga. That's like a diversion. Our bhakti should be like the Ganga rushing towards the ocean. So we should, our mind should rush very strongly towards Krishna and not be diverted. We shouldn't canalize our minds into thinking of anything else but Krishna. This is called unalloyed devotion. Our most worshipable and beloved Guru Pada Padma, Srila Prabhupada, he often used this term, unalloyed. Now, unalloyed, that means pure. That's used for metal. We say pure gold, unalloyed, 24 karat gold, no mixture, nothing false, only pure, unalloyed gold. So our bhakti should be like that, unalloyed. That means uttama bhakti, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana kamadhyanavrita, anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti rutama. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, the father of devotional service in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has defined, taking this description from Bhagavad Gita and a summary of all the many, many, many descriptions of what is pure bhakti, given in many different scriptures by many great devotees. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has given the essence by defining that bhakti should be without any other desire. Our only desire, the only desire of a pure devotee, is to serve Krishna, is to satisfy Krishna, is to always think of Krishna. This is pure devotion. So, anya abhilasha shunya. We should have no other desire. Therefore, krishnarthe akila cheshta. Rupa Goswami has also said that pure devotion is also defined that every endeavor we do, everything we say, everything we think of, everything we do, any undertaking, simply centered on Krishna. How can I satisfy Krishna? This is pure bhakti. So Rupa Goswami describes, we should cultivate the sense of performing everything simply for the satisfaction of Krishna without any other desire. Jnana kamadhyanavrita. Avrita means covering. So jnana means the path of spiritual elevation by which we simply try to cultivate knowledge of the Absolute without recognizing that Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, the object of all love, the all-attractive person, He is the person to be loved. He is the last word in the Absolute Truth. In the process of jnana, we, in a detached manner, we become detached from this material world, but we're also detached from Krishna. That means we're not in bhakti. We think we have to become detached. Let me analyze this world. This is good. This is not good. Let me become detached from this world. But if we're also detached from Krishna, who should be the object of our heart's love, then that is a covering over bhakti. We cannot achieve pure bhakti, or rather pure bhakti is defined as being freed from all other desires other than those simply to always think of Krishna, always serve Krishna, always be happy in the shelter of Krishna's divine lotus feet. So this jnana, that I shall study the Vedas, I shall become detached, the Absolute is impersonal, not a person. We may worship Krishna, but ultimately we want to merge into the Jyoti. This is although in one sense it's far more elevated than simply endeavoring for gross sense gratification, but it's not pure. It's not the highest standard of spiritual understanding. It's not in direct relationship with Krishna. So it's also a contamination. It covers the real heart's desire, the real nature of the jiva, the living being, to always love Krishna and always live with Krishna. So what to speak of karma or the path, it's also a religious path, but the path of working in a pious manner, following the Vedic instructions, not doing anything sinful, but with the idea that by doing so, I will get a good result in a future birth. This is even lower path than jnana. So bhakti may be executed. One can do bhakti, one can approach Krishna, but also doing bhakti, but at the same time thinking that, well, I'll also do some punya karma, some pious activities, and by Krishna's grace, I'll go up to a higher planet. Or we're worshipping Krishna, but our ultimate aim is to become detached from everything, even detached from bhakti. So these are contaminations. And when one understands, like Arjuna has understood, when one understands, as Krishna has taught us, as Rupa Goswami has taught us, that our real self-interest and the real dharma of the soul, not of the mind or the body, the dharma of the soul is simply to love Krishna, simply to serve Krishna, simply to always think of Krishna. This is unalloyed devotional service. That should be practiced anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. Bhakti should be practiced. We should perform bhakti with this intention. We may, as Krishna will describe in the upcoming verses in this chapter, that we may not immediately, due to this covering of karma and jnana, desires for material, gross material enjoyment and desires for subtle liberation, because of these long standing, deeply rooted desires in our hearts, if we're not able to come to pure bhakti immediately, at least we should cultivate this sense that I am the servant of Krishna. I simply have to serve him. But doing everything that is favorable for the development of our bhakti. Krishna says, you fix your mind upon me. And then we may think, well, there were many great asuras, rakshasas, demons. They also thought of Krishna. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Kans Maharaj, the famous demon, he was always thinking of Krishna because it had been predicted that the eighth born son of Devaki would kill Kamsa. And he realized that Krishna, that person is destined to kill me. So he always thought of Krishna, but not favorably. He was in enmity thinking of Krishna. He was making plans how to kill Krishna. Of course, it's not possible to kill Krishna. But he was thinking like that. So that is not bhakti. Those who think of Krishna, but with envy, that cannot be called bhakti. Bhakti means to cultivate our natural, loving feelings for Krishna. So how to do that? That is explained in brief in Bhagavad Gita and in great detail by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and how we are to personally apply that in our lives. For that we shall have to take the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master who is following in the footsteps of Arjuna and Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. But the principle here is being enunciated, pure devotional service. Here, in this verse, Krishna is not describing the background or the reason why he does that in other verses, but in this verse, he simply describes the principle of always thinking of Krishna, being his unalloyed devotee. So one who actually engages in this devotional service, he lives in a direct relationship with Krishna. For him, for one who's actually experiencing Krishna consciousness, he no longer needs the philosophical explanation. That doesn't mean he's non-philosophical. Arjuna, he's a great devotee, but he's also interested in understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But for a great devotee, he is experiencing Krishna at every step of his life. When he chants the name of Krishna, Krishna is dancing on his tongue. When he offers food to Krishna with love, he directly experiences and appreciates how Krishna is taking this, and I am taking Krishna prasadam. So a devotee, he lives in a relationship with Krishna. And for those who are not devotees, they cannot understand this, because some things, they are to be understood by appreciation, by direct experience. We can discuss these things, and that should give us some impetus to take to Krishna bhakti. By studying Bhagavad Gita, we should get the impetus. Yes, I also want to be like Arjuna. I also want to be a devotee of Krishna. But what is that bhakti? What is the experience that we shall have to take to bhakti to understand? Just like an example. You can do a PhD studying honey. Honey is, you can write, honey is very sweet. There are many varieties of honey produced from different flowers, different bees, in different seasons. What are the uses of honey? What is the history of honey production? How much honey is produced all over the world? You could write probably hundreds of books about honey, but you won't know what it tastes like unless you take the cover off the jar, put your finger in or a spoon in. Oh, honey is so sweet, so nice. But if you read a book about honey, you cannot experience that. So Bhagavad Gita is the book which teaches us about bhakti, but we actually have to do it if we are to experience what is the sweetness of bhakti. It's very nice. You read this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yes, please read. That's also part of bhakti. But we have to actually take up the process. Chanting Hare Krishna and then following the rules of purified life that will help us to raise our consciousness. There are many activities in bhakti. Offering food to Krishna, going to the temple of Krishna. Most important, of course, in this Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel, is always chanting the names of Krishna. So we recommend that. Read this Bhagavad Gita as it is, chant the names of Krishna, and you will experience the sweetness. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the supreme sweet person. And he is inviting us through this Bhagavad Gita to take to his pure devotional service. And we will experience a sweetness that is sweeter than any honey. We will experience a sweetness that is sweeter than any material relationship. It is simply unimaginable to those who have not experienced, just like those who have never tasted honey, those who have lived all their lives only taking some rough, thrown-out rice and maybe a little salt. They do not know what is the sweetness of nice honey. So those who have not taken to Krishna bhakti, they cannot understand what is the sweetness. But those who have taken to Krishna bhakti, they always relish the sweet taste of living in a relationship with Krishna, especially by chanting these very sweet names of Krishna. Please chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.